If you would open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read from verse number 9 in 1 Peter chapter 3. So glad that you have chosen to be with us on Mother's Day 2014. It's not enough words that we have in our vocabulary to show our gratitude and our thankfulness for the love that mothers give. So many things they do that go unnoticed, so many things that they do that are taken for granted. And a job that is not always easy and not always fun. But we thank God for our loving mothers tonight. Without them, this church would be nothing like it is today. It's because of their contribution that we have what we have and are able to carry forth towards the next generation. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. That you should inherit a blessing. And I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight on transferring your blessing. Transferring your blessing. Can we just go to the Lord in prayer and ask God just to speak into our hearts tonight? Dear God, you see each and every one of us here tonight, O God. We want you, dear God, to speak into our hearts tonight, O God. Lord, we don't want to leave here empty, God, but we want the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to reach down and speak into our hearts, dear God. Lord, we have a great desire to hear from you, dear Lord. We have a great desire to be instructed and to be uplifted, O God. Oh, Jesus, God, we want to leave here, God, with your blessings, with your love and with your mercy and with your knowledge, dear God. In the beautiful, beautiful name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I am reminded of a passage of Scripture in the book of Samuel about a mother that was so very passionate about her desire to have a son. She desired so much to have children. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest was seated by a post of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah was in bitterness of her soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. There's no way that a mother will ever escape life without many tears that she sheds, because this old earth that we travel on has the heartaches that come with the desire and with the office and responsibility of being a mother. Verse 11, she vowed a vow and said unto the Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. So we see a lady here that desired so very, very much to have a child. And she found herself, as it was, stumbling upon one of the secrets of being a successful mother. She realized that if she would take that which God had given to her, and she would put it back into God's hands, and trust the Almighty Savior Jesus Christ as the one that would give her the wisdom and would have mercy upon this child and lead and guide and instruct and show her young child the way, that she would be blessed. You see, today,
the blessings that our mothers have upon their life. They have the ability to transfer and to pass those blessings on to their children so that their children can inherit a blessing. We see a world today that is bent on transferring their curses upon their children, transferring their bad habits to their children, transferring their despicable lifestyle to their children. They've got a lot of things that they're passing on to their children that are there and doing them harm and hurting them and not bringing them to a place where they can find fulfillment and happiness in life. Why is our society bent upon these things? I don't have a good answer for you tonight on the question. The book of Romans, Paul scratches his head and he doesn't understand why anyone would do that which is against nature. There's some things that are born within a mother. There was a case in Utah of a mother taking, and she had three babies that she went and buried. And we scratch our head, and why would a mother do something to hurt her baby and to hurt her child? One of the things that I see and I can understand is the fact that our world has been programming all of us in society to be totally self-centered. Even though it's against the nature of a mother just to focus on herself and just to be concerned about her pleasures and just to be concerned about her comforts and just to be worried about her success and just to be worried about what she's interested in. There are those that try to tell our mothers that they are liberated and that they are no longer in bondage to be a mother. But I want to confirm to you again tonight, your children will not raise themselves. And I want to tell you, it's not a good idea to give them to the wolves to raise either. It was a great story to read in fifth grade about the boy that was raised by the wolves. And it was funny and it was interesting. And the guys that could go around growling and hollering and screaming and kicking and saying, "I've been raised by wolves." But it just don't work. Every child needs a loving mother that is willing to be there for them and to sacrifice for their children. Sacrifice is a dirty word anymore. We want to hear about partying. We want to hear about celebration. We want to hear about going out on the town. We want to hear about living it up somewhere. We want to hear about letting the good times roll. But I want to tell you, to be a good mother, you're going to have to sacrifice for your children. It's going to cost you something to raise your children right. It's going to cost you something to have a blessing to give to your children one of these days. It doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come without cost. It doesn't come without a price. But I want to tell you, it's an investment that will pay you hundredfold today and a millionfold in the world to come. Every prayer that you invest in your child, every hour that you spend with them, teaching them, training them, working with them, and being with them is a blessing that you are transferring. Doesn't matter how much money you give to a child. Doesn't matter how many things you buy for a child. None of those things will take the place of a mother spending time with her children. Are you hearing me tonight? You've got to spend time with your children. There has to be good one-on-one relationship bonding with that child. You can go buy them a Big Mac or a Happy Meal. Drop them off at the park and sit there and Facebook, and your child has no connection with you. Get out of your selfish environment. Go over there with them if they're of the age and push them on the swing. Go over there and talk to them about Pooh Bear or Larry the Cucumber. Get into their world. become something that is a part of their environment, Mom. It's not enough to buy the latest gadget, to acquire the latest rage of time-filling entertainment. But if you're going to bless that child, you've got to have a relationship with them. If you don't have any time with them now, when they get 16 years old, do you think they're going to have any time for you then? I want to tell you something. A teenager's relationship is built from a baby. They will love and trust their mother if they know she cares, if she spends time with them, if she's investing in them, if she cares about them. One of the greatest things that a mother can do for her child is look at them and tell them no. Your children need boundaries. You need to put discipline into their life and show them there is right and there is wrong and there is conditions upon everything in life. Somewhere we need our children to know and realize that nothing in this world is for free. Everything costs somebody something. And if we are going down life's highway with the attitude and with the mindset that we deserve it and everybody's going to give it to us, we're fixing to wake up hungry and cold and naked and greatly depressed. Because, moms, you can never have enough to give your child everything they want. You can never have enough to always do what your child wants done. It's not there. Somewhere you've got to be able to teach them that they must make a choice in life. I must choose what is valuable to me. I must choose which I won't. I can't go to the toy store and have every toy on the aisle. There is a choice to be made. Teaching them the value of money. Teaching them that they are to work for money. That they will earn things in life. That dad and mom had to earn it. And they need to be a part of the family. Somewhere we've lost the concept in our society that our children need to clean the room. Somewhere our society has been turned upside down that it is stupidity to tell your children that there are chores that need to be done. And that if they expect any money, it needs to be earned. We have children to raise in the fear of God. And in order to do that, we need all the wisdom of God that He can give us in this wicked and perverted generation. And one of the dangers that we face and one of the battles that we are fighting tonight is the battle to teach our children how to have human relationships. This is not a human relationship. Our society is becoming technology isolated. They speak to someone in Japan, but they do not know their neighbor's name. For the life of them, they cannot tell you who it is at Walmart that checks them out. You think about it. For most of us, You have no idea who the checkers are at Walmart. There's some that work there, and so they have a knowledge of it, or they got a family member that works there and talks about it. But relationship skills are very important to teach your children. Being able to teach your children how to get along with other children. It's a tragic day that we live in. When our children are raised with the concept and the idea that what they have is theirs and they have no responsibility, or maybe the word we're looking for there is that it is not to their advantage to share what they have. We need to teach our children how that they are blessed when they share with others, because it builds relationships that they will need the rest of their life. It's no different today than it was 20 years ago. In order to be successful in the work environment, you need people skills. The job placement of those that have no people skills is a very, very tough work environment to be in. We need to teach our children these people skills. How to get along with others. How to share with others. How to negotiate in life. And the fact that when we want to have a relationship, it will cost us something. But it's worth it. The benefits are worth it. And I know that another area in the parenting and family that our society has trashed and turned over and kicked out the door that's hurting our families tonight is the family supper table. They have replaced the supper table with the television. Everybody gathers around the latest entertainment flick from Hollywood. Something's popped in the microwave. Nobody knows what's going on in anybody else's world. They're living somewhere in a virtual fantasy, consuming something. And our children are being programmed that their values come from Hollywood. Is that what we really want? We want our children emulating people like Fever Beaver and Corrupt Molly? Is that what we really want? I just got a real problem with the rap culture. I think about the old country and western. I used to call them Two Dog Nights or something, and now they're Shaggy Dog or something in the rap. And the icons of our society today are not the role models for our children. We don't want them to grow up thinking that the only thing for a young lady to achieve in life is to wear a size 5 in a dress. That is the only goal in life. There's a lot of messed up young ladies out there that are relying upon a false beauty that is nothing but vanity. Because I want to tell you something. This may be a shocker to you, but one of these days, young ladies, you're going to be old and wrinkled. don't care how much ankle you show, they're not going to whistle at you anymore. We need to learn how to teach the next generation how to be blessed. How that there is character on the inside that comes from modesty and honesty, and it will shine from now to the day they step over through the pearly gates. Let the world have their deceit. Let them have their dishonesty. Let them have their false representation. We want that which is true. We want that which is lasting. We want that which will bring blessings to the next generation. Our young men, they need a mother that loves them and is willing to allow the father to discipline them. There's a lot of messed up young men out there because there was a mama somewhere looking at daddy and saying, "Oh, you just ought to let him go. It ain't that important. Let's just forget about it." No, mom. They need some absolutes put into their life by their father. Many years ago, they had some academia pointy heads that decided that they had figured out a way to bring great freedom and liberation and happiness to the playground of the public school. You see, they had a revelation that a fence is a boundary. A fence is like a cage. A fence represents oppression. When you have a fence around something, it destroys creativity. It destroys freedom. It destroys character. And it damages the psyche of a child. So they found an idiot somewhere, and they went and took this fence off the playground at the school. Yeah. Well, there's one that may get to talk to the bubblegum machine. So the kids come running out at recess, just boogieing. And they all look around, and there's no fence. They wander over to the edge a little bit and look around. And then all of them just kind of migrate back out to the middle of the playground and kind of just stand and mill around out there. There's not much playing going on. There ain't much fun going on. Because these children suddenly feel like that they're in a threatening environment. They don't know what is liable to come into that playground after them. They don't know what might happen. And so they finally have somebody wake up and put the fence back around the playground. Kids come back out, see the fence is there, and immediately there's 10 to 20% of the kids run to the fence, and they start playing around the fence now. They want to be as close as they can to the boundary, but the boundary has got to be there because that boundary they know will keep them safe. There's some that are out in the middle playing around, and some all different places. And now they are concentrated on their fun and having games because the fence gives them safety. Our families need boundaries in order to feel safe. Your child needs to know that you love them enough that you are going to keep them out of harm's way. Because when we give them everything they ask for, when we let them do everything that they want to do, whether it's right or wrong, we are teaching them that we really don't care about them. That only thing we care about is whatever's going on in our life. Well, whatever. I just know that I'm going down to the steak joint to eat. I'm just knowing tonight that I'm having my friends over and we're having a drink. All these things to tell our children we don't care. No way should anyone ever abuse their children or do physical harm to their children. That's not God's plan. That's not what is there. Those things typically come from somebody that don't care about their children. And suddenly when their world is invaded, whatever they're doing, they're over there playing their game, they're over there surfing Facebook, and suddenly the child comes over and drops their dirty diaper on top of the computer. And so they become violent, not because of what the kid done, but because the kid disrupted their world. They don't love their child, they just love theirself. We have to be consistent in what we tell our children. If we tell them today that we don't want them playing in the middle of the street, and they go out and play in the middle of the street, and we say, well, that's all right, I'm talking to so-and-so in San Francisco, at least they're not bothering me. And then tomorrow, they go by and fog all the windows up and put fingerprints all over the door, so we're mad at them, and we see they're playing at the street, and we say, ah, I got a reason now to get them. So we go out, and in our anger, we try to discipline our children. We're doing them a disservice because we're teaching them that we have rules based upon our emotions. Emotions and rules don't go together. As a mom, you're going to have emotions. You're going to care for your baby. You're going to love your child. But you've got to have enough logic within your brain to realize that the rules are the rules and they're there for a reason. We tell our children, don't touch the stove. It's not because they get fingerprints on the stove and we have to wash it. It's not because we want our kids to not know how to cook so they'll be starved to death when they're 21. We tell our children not to touch the stove because we don't want them to be burnt. And we know that it's going to be a while before they have the knowledge and the understanding to know when the stove is hot or cold. But when they get old enough, we begin to teach them, hey, you don't touch the hot part of the stove. You double check it. You look at the knobs and you see that if whether it's on or off. And you put the pan up there. You don't put your hand on there to see if it's hot. You put the pan up there and give it a little time to see if it starts cooking. Amen. Those are principles that we begin to teach our children. And we need to teach relationship principles to our children. Relationship principles. I can remember coming home. My mom would be waiting up for me when I got to the age of being able to go out with responsible friends. Even before that, as a child, when I come home from school, we would do something together and mom would ask, who did you play with today? What were their names? What did you play? What did you learn in school today?
She cared about what was going on in my world. And also she was looking for dangers that might be there. Amen. I knew better than to ever tell my mom about the magazine they found over by the cellar. You know, I didn't have nothing to do with it, but I heard about it. Because I knew that was wrong. And I didn't want anything to do with it. But I did have problems with this one young man. And I needed help with it. Relationship advice. You can identify the problems. And I have spent the last 20 years working within multiple public schools in Oklahoma as a computer IT person. And I have observed large schools and small schools. And I've talked to the administrators. And I'll never forget this one administrator that we sat down and we talked about kids and their problems. And he calls me Brother Tom. He said, "Brother Tom," he said, "I want you to know, if you'll take care of the small things, you won't have very many big things to deal with. We tell the kids not to chew gum in class. We tell them to pay attention, to do their homework, not to backtalk their teacher, not to wear hats in the hall, not to say dirty words. And when they do one of those things, it's a serious matter. It is dealt with. It's not, well, they just wore a hat in the hall. What's the big deal? No reason to get bent out. Yeah, they get bent out of shape over it. It is the rule. You don't break the rule. And I'm sure that they've probably had some fights in this particular school. But the 15 years that I've worked there, I have never observed or heard about any of the kids fighting on the days that I were there. Because they had the rules that were observed. There's none of this building business of telling your kid no 37 times. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. I said no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Fred Jones Smith, Pete, I said no. The kid finally turns around. Mom called me by all five of my names. Maybe she's serious now. If you don't want the child doing it, you tell them one time, and then the next time it's time to bring the discipline to bear. If that doesn't happen, they're going to be 16 years old and they're going to be out there robbing the bank because they really don't feel there's no problem with robbing the bank. They'll give me four or five different chances before they get worried about it. You know, Yakov Smirnoff said, "I just love America." He says, "It's the only country in the world that I know where the police fire warning shots." Well, let me tell you, that's a thing of the past in America too. Amen. You get the Wild Bill Hickox on the loose. Tend to the small things. Teach our children the principles that will bring blessings into their life. One of the areas where I see a great disservice to our children is that our children are not being taught respect for authority figures in their life. Respect for older people that are in their life. And we need that passed down to the next generation. We need them to understand to be courteous, to be kind, and to listen and to learn what is going on. I know at 13, you know everything in the world. You ask a 13-year-old a question, they've got an answer for you. I don't care what the subject is, and they're absolutely sure they're right. It's a good thing that children become to an age where they can transition, because eventually they're going to have to survive on their own. They're going to have to answer questions for themselves. But if they're not taught about authority and knowledge and about relationships, they're going to miss out on a lot of blessings in life. You can do some things in this world, but the great things in this world are done by people that learn to work together. Teamwork. Being able to work together. Being able to get along with other people. To negotiate and accept what everybody else decides is the best way to go and be a part of the team. Our world today even knows that the superstar business, as a general rule, is not going to work. You got somebody who thinks they've got all the assets. If it's a team activity, a lot of times that team's in trouble. Mothers, I want to tell you today some blessings. Blessed is the mother who understandeth her child, for she shall inherit a kingdom of memories. Blessed is a mother who knows how to comfort, for she shall possess a child's devotion. Blessed is the mother who guides the path of righteousness, for she shall be proud of her offspring. Blessed is the mother who is never shocked, for she shall receive confidences. Blessed is the mother who teaches respect, for she shall be respected. Blessed is the mother who treats her child as she would be treated, for her home shall be filled with happiness. Blessed is the mother who answers simply the startling questions, for she shall always be trusted. Blessed is the mother who has character strong enough to withstand the thoughtless remarks and resentments of the growing child. For again, in due time, she shall be honored. I want to tell you something, Mom. You were not created to be your child's friend. You were created to be your child's mother. And there is a difference. There is a difference. Because a mother must be willing to tell her child the truth regardless of how it will be accepted. If you want to be somebody's friend, just shut your mouth and stay their friend. But a mother can't do that. I've seen tragedy after tragedy of mothers that decided that their children would be their friend, be their companion. Doesn't work. Amen. I believe that your children need to hear you praying for them and calling their name out. And the time to pray with your children is not when they're 21. The day to start praying with your children is the day they are born. They don't hear me. They don't understand. It won't be very long, and they'll understand. They need to have that discipline in their life. They need to have that time with their parents. Over and over again, we understand some things about children and psychology. Amen. When a child is born, when the mother rubs that child's head, she is stimulating brain paths in that child. The physical contact with that baby is making it smarter. Kids that don't have physical contact as babies have a lot lower IQ. And if they are totally without human contact, they will die. So, spiritual contact with the child. They begin to understand and feel something that's going on when their parents are praying at a very, very young age. It becomes a part of their culture, a part of their life. You have a kid that's 5 years old and suddenly you're trying to have them be still and have a prayer meeting with you. It's going to take a lot of more effort. It can be done. Amen. And thank God for the mothers that when they come into the house of God, they begin to teach their children the right way. That's what you've got to do. But it's a lot easier to start from the ground up with them. It's never too late to start teaching your children right and being there. The first person to see hypocrisy in their household is the children. Interesting thing, anytime that you've worked in Sunday school, you almost have to tell the parents, I won't believe anything your kids say about you if you won't believe anything they say about what happens in the class. Your kids, they tell off on you. If they know about it, they're going to tell it. Yeah. Mama's hiding a $20 bill in the sugar bowl. We don't shop at PJ's anymore because Daddy thinks the clerk down there flirts with Mama. Yeah. And Sunday school teachers, if you're going to have your kids come up and sing a song, find out what the song is before they sing. Yeah. I was at a particular class and the teacher didn't ask and the little girl got up there and singing, when I die, I keep those cold icy fingers off of me. When I die, I keep those cold icy fingers off of me. Go ahead, though, and teach your children to pray. They will amaze you sometimes. Little girl stuck her hand up in Sunday school. Said, would you pray for my Aunt Gertrude? She's been dead a long time. But simple things are in their world. They may lose their favorite Hot Wheel. Pray with them over it. They may see one of their friends fall down and skin their knee. Teach them how to have compassion. Not to look at them,
"You're a sissy. You need to get up and tough it."
"No, let me help you. I know your knee hurts. Amen. Won't you let me help you?" Being able to transfer the blessing. So they will know if you are a believer. They'll know if you're in love with God. They'll know how you spend your time. They'll know what you're passionate about. Encourage your children to do good things. Reward them for being a part of the kingdom of God. Be excited when they're involved in something in the church. Promote the activities of the church in their life and be beneficial with all of that. I look and I think about how empty that my home life would have been if there hadn't have been some home devotions that were involved there, where our family would gather around and talk about God and read the Bible. Personal insight from our family and what we believed and what we stood for. Don't feed your children a diet like the vulture feeds their baby, always looking for something putrid to pass along. Right over your head. Don't gossip. Don't be one that's always looking for the bad in other people. Don't always be looking for a tale to tell, a tragedy to share. Don't always be looking for a fight to jump in the middle of. Don't always be looking for an argument to join. Don't always be looking to try to add fuel and try to get these other people going at each other so you'll have some cheap entertainment. Blessed is the peacemaker. Teach your children to have a life full of peace, not of strife, not of fighting, not of contention. Be involved with them. 2 John chapter number 1. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." You can transfer truth to your children. You can see them walk in the path of righteousness and goodness if you will be an example. Moms, find every holy place, every good place, every church service, every revival, every event, everything that's going on that has to do with God, grab your children and run to it. I want to tell you that's how you're going to transfer the blessing. That's how you're going to keep your children in church. When church is a big deal, when church is your life, when your children are there every time the doors open, when your children goes, every time there's an event to go to, they'll fall in love with church. They will see the benefits of living for God. They will have purpose and they will be happy. Yes, it's going to cost you something. Yes, it's going to cost you your entertainment. Yes, it's going to cost you life and money and time and effort and passion. But the rewards are out of this world to be able to see the blessings of God transferred to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. To the book of Titus, he says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becoming holiness, not false accusers."
It's not a bad thing to learn to count to 10 before you say something. There's a lot of people that engage their mouth before their brain ever kicks in. And once you say something, you'll never get it back. Literally. They tell us the words we say just keep going on out in space. If we were really smart, we could produce a microphone and shoot it out into space, and we could hear Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson talking about the Declaration of Independence, because their conversation is going out there in space somewhere. Be that as it may, think before you act. Have a lifestyle where that you try to see the good in people. And you weigh your efforts. You see, life only has so many hours in the day, and there's only so much energy and effort and passion you can put into things. And you do have to determine the battles that are worth fighting. Somewhere, we've totally lost the concept that there are times that we will suffer wrong in order for unity. I lost some of you right there. I lost you. We have this mentality in America that we deserve it and we're going to get our rights. But even our sports organizations realize that you've got to take one for the team every once in a while. There's none of the sports where everybody carries the ball at the same time. Only one of them gets the ball at a time. There's going to be those that get to sing sometimes. And there's going to be those sometimes that pass out the songbooks. And there's going to be times that others pass out the invitations. Amen. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Sober. Of course, that probably falls right on the line of not getting drunk, not getting high, all those things. You teach by examples. But there's another facet to that sober part, and that is being in contact with reality. Living in a real world and dealing with the real issues that are there. To love their husbands and to love their children. It's right here. The aged women are to teach the young to love their children. So young ladies, you need to take some advice from the aged women sometimes. You need to listen to what they have to say and pray about it. And mix it with faith and see what God would bring about it. Take this for what it's worth, okay? This man came up to my dad one time and he said, "Man, you need to go out and do this for your children and do that with your children." We were at a church camp at the time. He said, "Man, you got to do these things with your kids." My dad looked at him and he said, "Where's your two sons and your daughter?" "Oh, Fred, he ain't living for God anymore. And we don't know about Sam. He ain't heard from him in a couple of years. And Susie, she just found her boyfriend and I think she's clubbing now." He said, "Yeah, I don't think I'm going to take your advice. Don't look like it turns out too good." He says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home.
I may not get anything to eat tonight, but I'm going to talk about keepers at home. You don't raise roses in a pig pen. And that which you value, you take care of. Your children need to be raised in a safe environment, in a clean environment. Soap is not that expensive. And over all of it, just the effort of having an organized home, having a place for things, and having the security that this home is a safe, organized, structured environment is important for your children. You got time to go garage selling? You got time to run to Sonic for another drink? You got time to go to Walmart and check out the magazines? You got time to be on Facebook? You got time to... You got the picture. You got the time to have a clean home. Your children deserve that much, and it will show them love. Teach them to be good. The book of Revelations, it's wrapped up tonight. Can you stand with me? Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have rights to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Tonight, we want to honor our mothers. I would like for our mothers to come and stand across the front if they would. Amen. I want to tell you something. Children, fathers, brothers, sisters, we need to pray for our moms. They need to know that we love them. And a thank you, I love you, a little gift now and then, a little doing something that they don't ask you to do, to show them that you care, to make their life a little easier. Because not always going to have your mom. Children, would you come and stand behind your mother if she is here tonight? And if not, adopt you one. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Those that feel like it, they can come. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's reach out and pray for our mothers tonight. Husbands, can you come and pray, amen, for your wives and the mother of the children? Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we ask you, Lord, to reach down tonight, oh God. Thank you, Jesus.